All right, let's go right to our scripture this morning. I'm going to read the white and you read the yellow, okay? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having shod your feet, above all, take the shield of faith, the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, this morning I want to talk about the first active weapon. I call it an offensive weapon. Really, it's more of an active weapon because we're always in a defense posture, right? We've gone through all of this armor, almost all of it. We're not finished. We've got one more. It's all more of, you remember the words that are up there, stand therefore, don't charge therefore, stand. And that's what God wants us to do, is stand. And even though it's active, it's mainly that defensive posture. It's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And I want us to think about what God tells us to do rather than inventing all these different methods on how we're going to live the Christian life outside the Word of God. Do you hear me this morning? Okay. We are to stand, not chase. Okay, now we have people in our Christian world that feel like you should get out and advance and chase, and all that sounds so good, doesn't it? Woo. It kind of gives me chills when I even think about it, to run down the field like a Scotsman, you know, and we're going to win, and we get beat up and killed in the process. God tells us to stand and hold our place, hold the ground, not pursue the enemy, not taking off the ear like one of the disciples did when Jesus was being carried away. God is not looking for hot-headed, courageous, big-mouth servants this morning, but courageous, gentle servants ready to defend themselves with his word. And because we have no idea about the surroundings that we're in, other than what the scripture tells us. So here, our weapon is reading and quoting what God says. Not what we might logically think, not that we put together, but he tells us to quote the scripture, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. We have to use his words against the enemy. And taking up is what it means, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I want us to clearly understand this morning that this is one of those two active or offensive weapons that we use against the kingdom of God as we stand our ground. The other is prayer, and we'll get to that next week. The sword of the Spirit, and that's kind of a neat thought, isn't it, when you think about it, that we wheel around a sword, which is out of the Spirit. That's the literal translation. Not words out of us, but the words out of God. All right. So we are able to hit. We are able to strike blows. We're able to cut through the middle, slice, dice, and julienne fries. All these different things, darts and those things coming at us. And this weapon can neutralize temptation and foolish thinking on our part. And it can deflect the words and tempestuous words of Satan. It's the B-I-B-L-E. Do you guys remember that song? Yeah, I bet. Do you want to sing it? Okay. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. See, you know I ran junior church, don't you? 66 books that we can read and understand is historical yet relevant. It's the gospel, it's life application, it brings peace to our soul. But many in our Christian world don't care too much about the Word of God anymore. They talk about too many problems, too many different things, and they've been saturated with the world's talk, and it's perverted them and moved them until the Word of God has no weight in their life. And as a result of that thinking, it doesn't have weight in their life. And God says that when that happens, He turns them over to foolishness. I don't want to be there, do you? But it's the way our Christian society is drifting, and it's a direct hit from our spiritual enemy. And they don't know it. Because they believe themselves to be wise, Romans 1, 21 and 2 says, and instead they become fools. Now, years ago, one of my sons attended Metro. It was State College back then. Now it's the university, but at Metro State College, and he had a book in the back, and I looked at it, and it was on the historical Jesus, okay? Now, the historical Jesus means that Jesus was just a man, and that all the miracles that he did are not really miracles. They all can be explained. It was just the hysterical Christians talking about history. And his name was the Complete Resource of Research for the Historical Jesus. That was his religion class. And the interesting thing is, isn't it, when you stop to think about it, it's amazing that a college allows a religious class but doesn't teach about God. It teaches against God. And the biblical account of Jesus is not taught in that school because they believe it has no power. Do you believe that? No. That's their religion class. And so I have to ask myself why. Why are they so against it? And let me just read this from Hebrews. I think many of you have heard it before. For the Word, the Logos of God, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, I believe, having been there on that side in my younger years, I believe it makes them nervous. Because it's the sword of the Spirit, and it has power. And they have to fight the truth, because if they don't fight the truth, they have to give in to our God. But let me ask you a question. Do you believe that it has that kind of power that we just read? Man, I every day, and I don't know how you feel, but every day it always has what I need. And I even have people talking about how they watch a preacher on TV or something. They come and I talk about the same thing or whatever it may be, because it's living and powerful. And, you know, I know how they feel. I was there. I refuted the Bible, but in my heart I was scared to death. And I think it's the same for them. They fear the living Word of God. Now, our passage in Hebrews uses the word logos for the Word of God. And in the Greek, it means basically the whole Bible, the whole Word of God. Other times, logos is a saying, so it means just the whole saying of God together in one book. And here on the sword of the Spirit, it says this, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, but it's a different word. It's the rhema, R-H-E-M-A in English, the rhema of God. And what's significant about that? Well, let me give you the definition of rhema. That which is or has been uttered by the living voice. A thing spoken. Any sound produced by the voice and having definite meaning. Speech, discourse. What one has said, a declaration of one's mind made in words. So when God says in the book of Hebrews, for the Word of God, the Logos, it means the sum of the whole Bible is great for us. That's the concept. But here, when he says the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God, it means the spoken out of your mouth Word of God. Okay? And when you think about it, the whole Bible is spoken out of the mouth of prophets and authors, God's word, his literal words being spoken. Now let's talk about Raymond temptation. God gives us the perfect example in his son. When he was baptized down at the head of the Dead Sea at the end of Jordan, he walked up a hill and went into the wilderness. Debbie and I walked that same path when we were in Israel, walked up and right where Jesus probably walked and moved on into the wilderness. And let me just read this from Luke 4:1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, having been baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Now, wouldn't you love that? You know, in our lives, we'll say, well, I'm just having this desert experience, okay? When we say that, what we mean is we feel kind of dry, right? That's not what was happening to Jesus. Satan was on his back for 40 days, and it was the complete and full will of God that Jesus be tempted by Satan to sin, to make wrong choices in which he did not. Thank you, Jesus, amen. And it goes on to say this, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Oh, I bet. Can you imagine how hungry you'd be after 40 days? I'm hungry after 40 minutes, right? And 40 days. And Jesus answered him, saying, I didn't finish reading it. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Is that a temptation after 40 days of not eating? Okay, I want to make sure, because a lot of scholars try to make that, well, he wasn't really tempted. I'm sorry. It says temptation in our Bible, doesn't it? Okay. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, okay. No. What does it say? It is written. Rhema. Right? Rhema. It is written, and he quotes the word of God. Now, here's the thing. We know the Son of God wrote that Bible. So he's quoting himself. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, every word, every audible, repeatable word of God. That's how we're to live our lives. We're to live our lives quoting scripture against the devil and against any warfare in our life. And Jesus uses that rhema, that spoken word, to refute Satan. Did it work? Yeah. At the end of that passage, he says, and Satan went on after that because he had nothing left. And Jesus uses God's actual, literal words. It is written. Now, go with me to Simon Peter. Jesus in the trial, and we know about Simon and his denial, right? In verse 31 of Luke 22 says this, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you like wheat. Oh my gosh. Wouldn't you hate that? And yet many, many of us have experienced that, right? We've been sifted in our lives. Things have come into our life and drive us crazy. And so he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Now, this is Jesus praying for him, right? That your faith should not fail. Did it? Oh, Jesus didn't get his prayer answered. Wow, that's an interesting thought. And when you have returned, God, Jesus knows his answer is not, or his prayer is not going to be answered. And when you have returned, strengthen your brethren. In other words, Peter, here's the deal. Satan's going to hassle you. You're going to fall down, and you're going to get up, and then you're going to work for me. Boy, there's a lot of good message in there, isn't it, for us? Because we think we fall down, then we can't do the ministry anymore. We can't serve. We can't do all that. Get over yourselves. We're all in that same boat, aren't we, this morning? It is our story. You know, God could have destroyed Satan with a blink of an eye, but God is after maturing you and I to be the sons and daughters of God. And it takes that. And God, in his remarkable wisdom, trained Jesus in the wilderness, trained Peter before the cross, trained Paul in all the trials that he had throughout his life. And he trains you and he trains me through our circumstances. Do you realize that? Every time you have those things come in your life and you have those problems that you so hate and you so try to pray away are the very things that mature you as a Christian and make you stronger and stronger. But this is the reality. If you give yourself to him, he will train you. Do you hear that? He will train you. Because it is written, and I'm going to rhema the word here, okay? It is written, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Because it's for our good. Now, years ago, just a few years back, I came to Denver and married Debbie. And about a year later, after we were married, I got a job at an envelope plant, and it was hard labor, but I was young, you know, and I went to work, and it was like from 5:30 in the morning till 4:30 or 5 or 6 at night, and every day like that, and Saturdays, all week and Saturdays, and it was tough. And during that time, there was a point when I was working, and I had this, you see this machine, that's the only one I could see where they still have a picture. I couldn't even find a picture on the internet. That thing would run up and down, and you'd put a die on it and shove it underneath there, and it pushed through and cut envelopes, bring it back out. And I used to have to do 10 by 13 envelopes. You realize how wide that die was? Oh, gosh, it would kill me. And so during that time that I'm cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting, boy, you talk about futility. And I told God, man, I'm all yours, God. I am all out. I will go into ministry. I will not go into ministry. I will do whatever you tell me to do. Take me and use me. And so how does God take me and use me? Through trials, right? And so, oh, he heard the prayer. Yeah, he heard the prayer. But he saw committed Steve with a lot of rough edges. I still have rough edges, but a lot of rough edges. And so like Peter, he allowed Satan to sift me. And every day, I would come in, punch my card, I'd go over to my press, I'd see what I need to do, and as soon as I hit the button on the start on that press, I felt like Satan jumped my back. And it was that all day long, and many times it was 14 hours of work outside lunch and a couple breaks, and I just felt like Satan rode my back and rode my back, and I'd come home and tell Deb, man, I just feel like Satan's just on my back. And 8 months this went on, every day for 8 months. I thought I was going to have to check myself into a funny farm. Because it was just, it was so awful. I finally ended up with pneumonia in this whole thing because it was so stressful and so hard. I remember one day picking up some paper, and I fell on the paper, and I couldn't get up. And they said, what's going on? And I said, man, I don't know what's wrong with me. Sent me to the doctor, and I had to get some antibiotics because I had pneumonia. And every day I would quote the scriptures. Every day I would quote Ephesians. I would quote every scripture I think of. I read the word like crazy so I could quote it to fight back in this thing, and only for it to start up again. And I'd swing that sword. It is written, Satan. 8 months. And you know what my prayer was every day? Stop it, Lord. Lord, stop him from doing this for me. This is not right. Was my prayer wrong? Yeah, I was thinking about me in this thing. Stop the misery, I can't take it. But I could take it. And I knew in my heart I could take it. And one day, I'd had enough, and every day I'd had enough, right, for 8 months, but one day I did have enough. And I said, Lord, I've had enough. And immediately it went away. And I mean, within 2 or 3 hours, I thought to myself, Lord, bring it back, because I could see what he was doing to me. I'd grown like a weed in God doing all this, and it had helped me. And so the Lord, I said, bring it back, because I was growing. I didn't see the growth until now. And it didn't come back. It went back to normal life. And it was disappointed. Now, I know that may sound funny to you, because who wants to be hassled, right? But what growth took place, man. And that's how he built Peter. That's how he built Jesus. That's how he built Paul. That's how he built John. All those guys died martyrs' deaths. It wasn't easy for them. They could have denied the Lord, but they didn't do it. They stuck it out. And we have these problems in our life, don't we? They may be small at times. Other times they're big. And every time a big situation comes up, my friend, for 21 centuries this has been going on. He is producing you as a child of God to be more workable, to be able to do more ministry, to be able to use your gifts better if you allow him to do that. Yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so if you don't want to be a Christian today, I understand. Okay. If you are a Christian and you decide you want Christ, maybe you're a visitor here today and you want Christ in your life, listen, it's not an easy life either way. Right? He's wanting to complete you. And when you trust Christ, you are allowing him to grow you up. And it looks different for everybody. Listen, my friends, my challenge this week is let's fight fire with fire. It is written. Say that with me. It is written. Say it with me. It is written. Isn't it written? Everything that we go through is written. And when those dark comes and the temptation comes, the pitfalls, the weaknesses, the thoughts, the torture, the temptation, the bad attitude, the selfish desires, the desire to do the wrong thing in our life, let's fight fire with fire. It is written, devil. And quote it or read it. And say it. Rhema. When we have that bad attitude of, no, I don't think God loves me, you can tell the devil, no, he loves me. Right? Isn't that what we studied in Ephesians 2:4? With his great mercy and great love with which he loved us. He loves me. He doesn't blame me anymore. I am blameless and holy before him. Get out of the way, Satan. That's swinging the sword. Taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If the team will come back up, we're going to do communion this morning. And there's two tables over here. There's two tables over here. We always do communion on the last Sunday of every month, just in case you don't know that. And what I want is, as we begin to do the worship, you just go to that table and get your bread or juice, or maybe you can get them for another person to kind of keep the lines from being too big. Then come back and wait, and we will do it together in unity, okay? Are you with me this morning? Okay. Did I beat you up too bad?
No.
Okay, all right. You look kind of beat up. Okay, that's good. He started. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning. We love you. We care about you. Lord, for us, it's strange that you would use all these circumstances that are, in our mind, not good to mature us. So, Lord, will you help change our hearts and our minds to understand that these things that we go through create the fruit of the Spirit in us. And we begin to love and have joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, kindness, meekness, and temper and self-control through these trials and these tribulations. And Lord, will you mold us all? And whatever heart here this morning that would like to give their heart in a more surrendering way as a Christian, Lord, will you work in their hearts to become mature and knock off those rough edges as well? You may be here this morning and you haven't given your life to Christ, and you're, maybe that's what you even came for. Let me talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death. But it goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning and today is the day that you would really like to give your life to Christ and to the Father, you just pray along with me. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. God, I believe that you rose from the dead and that you rose from the dead for me because of that. So come into my life and save me today, and may I live for you. While our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer along with me, will you raise your hand up, put it back down? Let God know you meant business this morning. Just raise it up, put it back down. Anybody? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Father, we thank you so much this morning that we can come to you by faith in simple belief, turn ourselves over to you. And may you be glorified this morning as we share the Lord's Supper with you this morning. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as the music plays, you can just go ahead and go to your station.